says, we bless you in the name of Jesus. Wow.
I receive it.
I got some too.
Yeah. A little fallout over there, huh? All right, so everybody should have an outline, and it's called Hearing God's Voice. And here's the deal on this. I've got a lot of little details and things in it. I don't know how much I'll get to, but here's the gist of a sermon that's preached like this. The whole goal is, when I preach this sermon, that God will release an anointing for hearing His voice. So that's what you should expect out of this. When I speak, I'm going to speak these words, but the whole thing is that God will inspire you, God will encourage you, and that God will actually cause you to hear His voice. How many need to hear God's voice today? So let me just make it more particular. Maybe you need to figure out where you're going to go to school. Maybe you have a hard decision to make about a loved one. Maybe there's some kind of direction you're seeking in terms of your career. Maybe there's a health issue and you don't know where to turn. You don't know what to do. Maybe you need to move, but you don't know whether you should move over here or over there. Sound familiar? Yeah. Lots of things like this. And I don't know about you, but there's not much I look for and expect more and want more from God than specific guidance about very specific things. I believe that this is possible out of what I'm going to preach tonight, today. Not so much because of the content, but because of what we're addressing. So, Lord, I'm asking you, as a result, the byproduct of this sermon, there would be faith imparted, encouragement that we would actually be able to see our way, that you would guide our path, that you would help us understand what we're supposed to do. This path or that path, this knowledge about this thing. And you know, it's an amazing thing, Lord. I just thank you for all the times in the past where you've suddenly made me aware of what I'm supposed to do without even saying anything verbally, no scripture or anything. I just knew what to do. So I pray there'll be a whole lot of know what to do things in this room. You just know the right thing to do. Whether God communicates it verbally, whether you get a prophetic word or whatever, that there's an anointing here to hear the voice of God. I declare it over this house today. There's an anointing here to hear the voice of God today and every day. But right now in this moment and this session as a result of what we share together here today. Amen. It's a pretty good deal, huh? Wow, I could just see the lights go on, you know, specific things. Wonder if God said specific, and I know for sure, and it might even be hard for me to do, but I know exactly what I'm supposed to do. That I treasure more almost than anything. I'll fight any battle as long as I know this is what God wants me to do. How about you? I'll go through anything, but what I don't like is when I'm going through trouble and I don't know if I made a choice somewhere that I shouldn't have or I need to make a new choice. I don't like that ambiguity, and I just believe that God, and as a result of this message, is going to encourage, not so much for anything genius I say, you'll have heard some of this before, but you know, whenever we speak, it's not only the content specifically, but it's the anointing, it's the gist, it's the what God wants out of this message. I think what He wants out of this message is for you to hear His voice about very specific things, so that's why I'm giving it. So the Bible says in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Wow, I like food. How about you? I like food a lot, as a matter of fact. So I don't just live on that, but actually I need to like as much every word that comes out of the mouth of God, what He has to say, what His opinion is on a thing, even when I'm not asking what is an opinion about things. And I live off of that, man, I live off of that, and it's a very happy life as well. Sometimes it's difficult, but always with joy, because I know for the joy set before me, I'm doing what God wants. And when you're doing what God wants, it works out pretty well. So I live off these words. It's imperative to believe that God wants to encounter us and speak to us. Now, I was just reading again through some pages of a book by Larry Randolph, and it was just so enlightening. I love that book so much. Just reading one of these books that he's written, and it's kind of a signature book on from a prophetic person writing about hearing God's voice and all his experiences. But he said this. He said, the essence of dead religion is trying to live the Christian life without experiencing the person of Christ. And how do you experience the person of Christ? Well, there's lots of ways, but one of the ways is you hear him speak to you. You hear him talk to you. I tell you, that's a critical thing. How could you have a relationship with someone and nobody talks? So the way we experience a person is we hear them talk. But yet some of us seem so cut off and feel so cut off from word from the Lord, especially in certain areas. Maybe we've heard him about this and this, but there's an area and it's just tender and it isn't moving and we don't know why. And we would like the word from our sponsor about it. How about that, right? That's the way I feel lots of times, and it's just so nice when that changes. And that's when we have this encounter with God. You know, when we have him speak to us, we have these encounters. It's the living God. It's a speaking God. It's an alive God all of a sudden, and personal as well. So the great change that we see in the Bible from the Old Testament to the New Testament is the willingness of God to fully reveal himself through Jesus and through the work of the Holy Spirit. Now God's talking way out loud. He hid a lot of things through the centuries, but then when Jesus came, it all came out. His plan for all of us and everything centers in Christ and the revelation of Christ and the revelation that Jesus brings and the work of the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit was left in us for all believers. So we have this talking voice in us all the time, this guiding voice, this encouraging person on the inside of us, helping us to hear what God wants and God's counsel, actually to even interpret the scriptures for us so we can understand better, and many other forms of guidance. But to hear God's voice, we first need to come to him on his terms. That's the number one thing. So Peter summarized those terms in the very first sermon ever preached. And so we see that in Acts chapter 2. First, we repent and receive forgiveness. And second, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that was the occasion of the first sermon. By gift of the Holy Spirit, if you go to my Life in the Spirit class, you'll discover very quickly that that's just a synonym in Acts for being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Actually having an encounter like they had at Pentecost, where the disciples are waiting around, then the Spirit came and they began to speak in tongues and had this amazing encounter with the Lord that really blasted the church off. But it's sometimes with regard to our spirituality and walk with God, you know, people are clear in the church about the first point, but not so clear about receiving this baptism. That's why I teach three times a year on this baptism, this gift of the Holy Spirit, so important. And with regard to the subject at hand, the interesting thing for me is I remember when I got baptized in the Spirit, I was 17 years old, and I remember the date and everything. And it was a shocking time. It was May 5th, and I was 17 years old. I'm having this encounter with the Lord, I began to speak in tongues, and I was a Presbyterian kid. I had never been acquainted with anything like this. And they just happened to have this weird seminar that was inserted in a bigger seminar, a Presbyterian seminar, and I didn't even know how I got there, because for me, I was just quite bored and quite like desperate, really, because there's just nothing had life in it. And when I go to this place and I hear this guy talking about these things that I'd worried about, angels and God speaking directly and people being healed, I'd always wondered, but no, there's no sight or sound of that in the Presbyterian church I was. There is now, but at that time there wasn't. And so somebody introduced this subject. I was all in. I'm sitting there, and while he's speaking these words, like the guys on the road to Emmaus, my heart was burning. It was burning. Because I knew there was something going on inside of me. And then I got this baptism, this gift of the Holy Spirit. I began to speak in tongues, and it was an amazing thing. It was so interesting because I'm this Presbyterian kid, you know, going back to a Presbyterian church. And I have this prayer language trying to figure out what to do with it. So what I did with it is I infected 30 other kids with the same thing. They all began to speak in tongues. It was no problem, too. And the great thing about our church is they let it go on. They just didn't want it. Their biggest advice to me was, I just am afraid you're going to get too high. If you get too high, that, you know, there's always going to be a downside, and we don't want you to get too depressed. But so just remember that. Otherwise, go along your way and play, children. Well, we were playing all right. I tell you what, all kinds of stuff's happening. Demons were coming out and all kinds of weird stuff, you know. And it was just a really amazing thing. But the thing that I remember the most was the voice of God began to be activated. And this is why I'm so meticulous about people receiving the Holy Spirit, being a spirit-receptive church, and even a church that listens to the voice of God and believes that God still speaks. But one of the original pieces of equipment that you need is you need to have this baptism, this Holy Spirit coming on you. And that was an inauguration for me of hearing the voice of God like never before. I don't have to have a course in hearing God's voice because he began to speak. But I didn't know how exactly various things. And when the subject of prophecy came up, I remember this older gentleman who had always been sort of an outlaw in the church. You know, I wondered why they kind of always wondered, because he was the weirdo. And I'd become the next weirdo, you know. But I was a young weirdo, so nobody cared about me being a weirdo. But, you know, and he was this guy that was a Presbyterian guy who had been baptized with the Holy Spirit and full of the Holy Spirit. It was awesome, you know. So he got together a couple of us youth that had been, you know, infected with this wonderful Holy Spirit infection. And so he says, well, would you like to prophesy? And I said, sure, yeah, I'd like to do that. Oh, he says, okay, you sit here and you sit here. You face each other. I remember it was a girl, so she was there and I was there. And I said, all right. So He says, now what I want you to do is I'm just going to pray for you, and I want you to get prophesy over when I tell you. I said, well, how you doing? He says, don't worry about that. God will give you the word. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. Okay, so we sat there, you know, I'm thinking, there's never going to work. How in the world are you doing? And I was like embarrassed, and she was embarrassed and didn't know what to do. And so he says, okay, you start. And fortunately, it wasn't me. So he starts with this girl, and she looks at me, and she says, well, all I get is, you know, something about a back door and this and that. And he says, that's it. Well, go ahead. Just let it go. And so she started, well, I think God's going to have you. You're always going to be find yourself coming in the back door. And God's going about to do that. And where there was a front door and a back door, but he's going to bring you in the back door, you know. And then she said some other things about my life. And actually, the words she said, the very first prophetic words I have been true with my entire life since that moment. It's like she released the back door. You know, it was a way of saying that God will provide for you. Even when the door is not the open door, front door is open, there's always a way. And I've remembered all these years. I mean, and so then it was my turn. Oh, my gosh. Talk about panic and fear, you know. And I thought, then he says, well, just, you know, I said, I don't know what to say. He says, well, just give a little bit what you got, you know. And I said, well, I'm thinking about this, you know. I can't even remember what it was. I'm thinking that maybe you have this interest and maybe God wants to do more. She says, oh, that's so true. Then I got, whoa, that was good. Okay. All right. Well, let's try this on. So I'm starting to go. And to my shock, I'm prophesying. And from that moment forward, the gift of prophecy was activated in my life. And it wasn't like really there were any real weird techniques. The guy just laid his hand on me and said, prophesy. And then I began to speak. And I just stepped out in faith. And it just began to grow. And that's the moment I began to move. But the point is that this baptism of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, opened me up to be able to do things supernaturally that I didn't think I could do. And one of the most precious was to begin to hear the voice of God in a new way. And so since that time, I've always been looking because I found out that I need refills. So I'm looking for repeats of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And every time that happens to me, every time I get a fresh touch from the Holy Spirit, I'm always looking for the voice of God because he's not far behind that experience. He's maybe right in the middle of it, as a matter of fact, talking very specifically or giving me impressions or whatever. So God's voice, if you look at Roman number 2, is like a seed. And I want to emphasize this today. Our hearing is influenced by the condition of the soil of our hearts. So think about a seed and soil. Lots of times we concentrate, like I was, on the seed. What am I supposed to say? What am I supposed to hear? But actually, I think if you concentrate on the soil of your heart, then when God brings his seed, it finds a nice place to land and flower and grow. And I think there are soils that are receptive to certain kinds of seed. There are soils that are in the heart that are very receptive to the revelation of the Lord. In fact, there are key fertilizers in the soil that enhance our ability to hear God's voice when he speaks. If our heart's in that place, then we hear because the soil is ready for what he has to say. So I want to read from Luke chapter 18. And I think this section of scripture is about that very thing. And I want to read some of the verses here. Usually we apply this more towards salvation, but I think it has to do with all revelation. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Now think about this now in terms of the Lord bringing a word to you, bringing an insight to you, God giving you word about a situation, God bringing revelation to you. That's what salvation's all about, revelation. That's what walking with God's about. Again, we don't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So if the soil of our heart's good, that word is going to find a great place to land because the word could actually come but not land on good soil and not do you any good. So it's really important. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up, because you see, the seed's coming, but it's not doing the person any good because of these three things that we see. Some is scattered along the path, it's trampled on, some's falling on rocky ground, some other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. So other seed fell on good soil that came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than what was sown. I think that's really, really important. When he said this, he called out, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. It's because that in itself was a word to them, that he was trying to explain to them how things work in the kingdom. It was a word about the word. His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." What a horrible thing. God clears his throat and begins to speak, and we can't hear or understand. And that happens a lot. It must frustrate God. Of course, I don't think he gets frustrated like we do, but certainly he's frustrated some of you prophetic people, and certainly frustrates some of us counselors who counsel people and know clearly what a person should do. And they don't get it. They don't perceive it. And they end up devastated because of it. I've been through this so many times. I'm saying, well, it's pretty obvious what you're supposed to do. And they don't have the courage or the strength, or the soil's not right for them to receive that word, and they can't follow through. And it results in destruction. It results in problems in their life. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they may not believe and be saved. This is a big problem. Sometimes you get a promise, and then the enemy will come and snatch it out. You were excited for a moment, and all of a sudden it's gone and has no influence. That's why I do a lot of things like in our congregation, like I was doing today. I'm doing this more and more. What day today? September 1st. What did we do today? We prayed. What did we pray about on that day, right? Underlining. I heard that word on this day. That's why it's good to write it down. I retain the word. I look at it and I don't let it go from me. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a good and noble heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. So that good heart is as much a part of hearing God's voice as is the word itself. We concentrate on getting the word, but if it doesn't have that heart condition, then it's going to be useless. It may not bear the fruit that it's supposed to. And hopelessness and the worries of life drown out the voice of God. Just say that. That's the last thing you mentioned. But I just say, especially in this area, it's a real problem. It's like we get distracted by life. And it's the opposite direction for something that we should, when we hear God's voice, that we should be doing. We should be treasuring and not get distracted and let life kind of choke it out. But faith and perseverance cause us to hear and remember what God says to us so we can become fruitful. Now, the thing about this is very interesting to me, because for me, hearing God's voice, to me, is like you're hearing something supernatural, so it's sort of a cosmic thing. Yet, to retain it, it's interesting. Who hear the word, retain it by persevering. I mean, persevering, producing a crop. That doesn't sound very supernatural to me. You know, it sounds like actually there's work involved. See, and it doesn't feel as super spiritual, but there's work involved. There's persevering. There's something I have to persevere through this word. I got some good news, but now I'm going to have to hold it before the devil steals it. And I'm going to have to hold it and let it work its way out. Now, I talk to a lot of people that are in a lot of problems, you know, and one thing I keep finding myself saying is what they want to do with their problems, and most of us are the exact same way, and I'm the exact same place. When I get into difficulty, I want to blast out of my problems. Is that you? You know, I want to take a rocket, light the fuse, and boom, I'm out of there. But the truth is, most problems are like a wilderness. And so what we do is think of yourself as in a wilderness, and you're sort of lost. You don't know which direction to go. But you know you can't stay still, and you got to walk out in that wilderness, and somebody gives you a word, get out of the wilderness. Well, you can't get out of the wilderness, even with the greatest word in the world, without walking. So you just begin to walk it out, and hopefully you're headed in the right direction. And then you see signposts along the way. Okay, it's good. Yeah, I think there's, it's the way out. Keep on walking. Most of the wildernesses that we have are walked out of with a word from God about walking, about go this direction, and then we walk it out day by day until we're out on the other side. Ah, we hate that, but that requires perseverance. But that's the way most wildernesses are taken care of. You know why? Because all along the way, God's doing a whole lot. He's taking other things too. He's talking other things. You know, while we're walking, how about this area of your life? Yeah, that's the mountains. Keep on going. You're going. Yeah, and what about such and such over there? Probably should forgive them, don't you think? Okay, good. Oh, and so God gets more out of that word than just solving your immediate problem. Oh, we don't want to hear anything else but solve the problem, blast out, I'm done. But God has a little bit more a different view on things. So that's why he says, persevering, we produce a crop. We stay there and we keep moving toward that, but it may take some perseverance. Now, if you look in the scripture a little bit, a couple of chapters later, the idea actually, I think, is better expressed here in Luke chapter 11. Suppose you have a friend, and suppose, verse 5, and suppose you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So part of hearing God's voice is have the shameless audacity to pursue the word you've been given, to let it play out. It may take some twists and turns, but part of it is having a heart that perseveres and actually believes the words that you've been given. So guess what? When you begin to do that with one or two words, guess what? Every word doesn't fall on deaf ears. You have a noble heart. If you think you heard for something from God, that's it. I'm going to persevere till that thing comes to the end. I'm going to see it through. I'm going to walk with God in this. Hello, anybody there? I think it's good news. I mean, you know. Then he says, so I say to you, ask. So I not only receive the word, but I'm asking. I'm seeking. I'm knocking. Lord, open this door. Open this door. What do you want else to want me? Is there anything else I can respond to? How else can I say? What else can I do about this? For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? If he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then know you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? But along the way, as God's giving you that gift, there may be a little bit of trial in between. And so a noble heart is the one that seeks, asks, keeps on knocking, shameless audacity, till that thing comes forth, right? And a heart like that is amazing. And I found out something, a secret about that. When I respond with one word like that, God gives me more. What's the use of wasting your breath? I'm going to give you this incredible word about your life, and it falls on the ground, and it won't do anything because you have so much unbelief, you don't even actually believe. You're just hoping it's magic somehow, and I somehow magically get in my little spaceship and blast out. So the soil of your heart's important. Now, I just want to say something else about this. If you look at point B there, I don't know if I'm even going to get through the outline here today, but I'm going to get through some of it. So the thing is, I found something else. Love reveals God. And I want to talk for a minute about Mary Magdalene. The deep affection of Mary Magdalene, very specifically. Mary Magdalene, for me, has always been sort of this person that I haven't understood. I'm thinking to myself, of all the people that you would have at the temple, surely, I mean, at the tomb, surely it would have been John or Peter right there. Why this woman there? And she's, you know, and you know about her past and everything. And like, why is she the first one? You know, why is she the one? And I felt the Lord speak to me about it. And it's a high, high value that the Lord has. It's so high that we have it right at the pinnacle of the resurrection. Look at this verse. And it has everything to do with hearing God's voice. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying as she wept. She bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, woman, why are you crying? They've taken my Lord away, she said, and I don't know where they've put him. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. She didn't have any revelation. How could she look at him, but she didn't recognize him? It's amazing that that's even a fact, but that was the truth. She's looking straight at the Son of God, and she doesn't recognize him, the one she loves so much. And he says, woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for? Thinking he was the gardener, she says, sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I'll get him. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned around, turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni. At that moment, she got the revelation. She heard God. Do not hold to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. That's another thing. Why does he let this woman hold on to him? Like this isn't like a small little deal. I'm about to ascend to the Father, the creator of the universe. And for some reason, if you touch me too early, you know, you're going to kind of pollute me, but too late, you already did it. Well, I mean, you know, oh, this unevenness of things. I'm like this perfectionist. I want everything to be even, you know, like, okay, well, wait a minute, don't touch me. But he lets her hug him a little bit. Mary Magdalene goes the disciples with the good news, I've seen the Lord. And she told him that he had said these things to her. And you know what? Another where the story is given, a couple other places, it says they didn't believe her. They didn't believe her. They had a hard time believing her at the least. So what is this story? I'll tell you what this story is. This is a story about love. She loved him so much that all she could think of was, I just got to go to the grave and just do something. I just got to do something for him. And it's not even cognizant that he's dead and he's not going to be able to comprehend it anyway. So, but she didn't care. I just have to express my love to him. I think in that space, God revealed himself. I found that at places where I feel the love of God, I have incredible revelation. At a place where I can hear his voice like no other place. I remember when I began to experience the Father's love in a dramatic way, and I won't go through it too much in detail. Some of you can hear that in my Life in the Spirit class and what happened to me in this passage that we all talk about so much, which is the core of Romans, which is the core of the gospel. So it's the core of the core explanation of the gospel. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him, we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit testifies with the Spirit that we're God's kid. That experience, when I began to experience that more and more in this Father's love and the dimensions of the Spirit weren't just about revelation over here or power over there, but I realized that part of the receiving of the Spirit, part of the original package that the disciples got was this amazing experience with the love of God inside. No doubts, the incredible overflowing first love of God. And one of the biggest surprises to me out of that place is when I have these encounters and when I experience this deep affection and why deeply am affectionate to the Lord, I can hear his voice. I hear his voice in that place like no other. And I hear him talk to me about all kinds of things. And it's like I have this open channel. It's like Bible, some other ways to put it. And I've mentioned this almost every other sermon, but it's so real to me about ministry and everything. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he's doing. In other words, part of our direction to know what we're supposed to do for our life, go this way or that way, minister there, is this experience with compassion. We get Abba in us, and we get Abba in us, we know what to do. I don't know exactly how it works, but I just know that when I feel this affection, I know what to do. I can, it's part of the teeth of the fear, when the fear of the situation is drained and I'm secure in my Father, I'm calm enough. The soil's right to hear God's voice. And it becomes extremely easy. This is why we talk about the Father's love so many times. There's so many tributaries to having an encounter with the love of God, and repeated encounters with the love of God helps kind of all kinds of things, including revelation. Another thing that affects us is hunger for God opens our eyes to him. And we see another interesting story. You know, we see Mary Magdalene, her eyes were opened really because of her compassion. And I think that's maybe the reason why she got to be that person. There was just God loves love and appreciation. And we see this in the story with the guys on the road to Emmaus. Again, another resurrection story. He appears to a couple of them and begins to teach them the word. And the key phrase here is he began to teach them the word. Because their hearts were open, they're so hungry for God. I tell you what, sometimes I think in hearing God's voice, hunger is almost everything. If you're hungry, you will hear God's voice. It's just a matter of whether you're hungry or not. And the heart soil is very important. Hunger produces this kind of heart soil that's just like this dry ground waiting for any kind of moisture, just sucks it up. Hunger causes an ability to hear God's voice like almost nothing. And when you lose your spiritual hunger because of disappointment, discouragement, being overwhelmed by life or whatever, when you lose that hunger, what you do is you lose something of the voice of God. It's hard to hear. So in Emmaus, here we have Jesus. And the funny thing is he's appeared to them and they're not recognizing him either, but he's beginning to preach like Jesus. And the end thing is, at the end of it, they're sitting there at the table, and all of a sudden, the most important part is they're so hungry that they're talking on the road that they invite him to come in and tell them some more around dinner. And so he does, and they talk to him, and then he, boom, disappears right in front of their eyes. And they go, oh my goodness, that was the Son of God. But here's an interesting thing they say in verse 32. Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Now, I remember that burning in a lot of times of my life. especially when I was about to make a change or get new revelation, this burning, whenever that burning is going on in your heart, it's significant. A burning heart, a hungry heart after God receives all kinds of new information and revelation and insight. There have been times in my spiritual walk where I got into a new place of understanding about spiritual gifts or about God or about what he does or some revelation about him, and my heart began to burn. I'm hungry for him. When I'm hungry for him, I'm telling you, just like in Emmaus, what happens is you recognize him. They recognized him. And as soon as they recognized him, he disappeared, but they saw him. They knew who it was. Isn't that amazing? Reading the Bible, as cliche and as simple as it sounds, I'm going to tell you, is one of the best ways you could ever learn how God speaks and to discern truth. So the question is, how much? So if I say how much, the way I do it, I don't want to put anybody into bondage, but can I just say to you that I don't miss my Bible readings. I very rarely, and I go through the Bible all the time. I'm in the Word constantly, in season and out of season. You know why? Because it's my understanding that God comes, the Bible's Spirit-inspired. So when you read it, he talks to you out of it. He tells stories to you. Hey, you know what? You're just like that person over there. Hey, you know, why don't you try this like he did? Why don't you do this? Hey, you know what? You got to stop doing that. Oh, yeah, sorry, God. Thank you for warning me. I really, really appreciate it. And how God generally works, you get a handle on it so you can discern what's false and what's right. And when someone says to you, you can judge it because you got a general idea. You've read the scriptures so much. You know what it says, not only what it says in information, but you get the gist of, I read it for kind of the heart of God. I read it for understanding, what do you like and why do you say these things? And why was that so important to you? And it helps me then to know God. And that soil, I'm convinced, opens me up to hear God's voice. And boy, one of the best ways you can hear God's voice is to get that scripture. I'll tell you what, one of the most powerful things you could do in your whole life is find a scriptural promise and believe it and stand out and declare it over your life. Oh, talk about being spoken to, taking a promise from the Bible and standing on until it comes to pass is one of the most powerful things a person can do in their life. How can you do that if you never read your Bible? How can you do it if the Bible is just a bunch of information to you? It's not just information, it's promises from Almighty God to you. It's full of promises to you, how you can change your life, how you can move in a different direction, how you can serve the God of the Most High God, the Most High Earth. And you can't treat it like a textbook or read it every once in a while. There's this, it's your life, blood. It's God spent all these centuries putting this together from men and women of various walks and backgrounds to let you know his plan, not only for your life, but about the whole universe and where this whole thing ends. It's amazing. And someday Revelation, the book of Revelation, is going to become more and more clear to us. Even that book about how things end up. But already in this generation, God's speaking, isn't he? Talking. One of the things he's just speaking very clearly about is Israel. I mean, for 30, 40 years, we've been getting revelation about Israel, but something's up. Big. Whether you like Trump or not, what he did about Jerusalem is historic and everybody knows it. Whether you're a Christian or a Jew, you know. I don't know if the Muslims know too much about it, but... the saved ones do, but this is a big deal. Why do you know that? Because you read the book and you see what's supposed to happen. And this thing of Jerusalem becoming the capital officially the Jews, I wondered, like, the average person watching that, you know, on the news or whatever, thinking, well, big deal, you know, it's kind of been the capital already. No. Big deal in heaven and on earth. And the Jews, those that don't even know Jesus, understood it fully on that side, not so much on this side. Although the rabbi over here knows it fully. He and I had a long talk about it. He was ecstatic. He was blown away. When that thing happened to him, he couldn't wait to talk to him. He says, did you see what he did? You see what he did? You see where the Jerusalem's recognized. Jerusalem's, you know? So you might not even know what I'm talking about. But if you read your Bible, you know what I'm talking about. You understand the Bible. Prayer, worship, and thanksgiving cause a soil condition to be ripe for hearing God's voice. It plugs us into heaven. Psalm 100, verses 1 to 5. Let's read those verses. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. He likes you to come before him with joyful songs. That's the protocol of the king. You want to know how to approach God? Well, come before him with joyful songs. Sing a little bit. See what happens. That's why you can hear God's voice. You notice it happened today. We're bumping along and all of a sudden the thing goes shifting gears. Then we're like in another place. And your problems look different. Your thoughts about your life look different. And that space of worship. Why is it? Because it's getting bathed with heaven. And it's highly, highly addictive, by the way. I'm addicted to worship and praise and prayer. A lot of people, their thought about prayer is sort of get God to change his mind or twist his arm about something. For me, oh my goodness. It couldn't be even further from the truth. He already wants to give me everything. For me, I just got to get tuned up like a musical instrument. You know, I got to get tuned and play in the orchestra with him. What are you playing today, God? Okay, good. I got it through worship. I understand who you are, what you're doing. I got all the junk cleared out of me. I'm not afraid. I'm not worried anymore. I'm in tune. I'm playing with you. I can hear your voice. Worship, it causes things to clear in my mind. You don't have to worship. You get to worship. And the more, the better. Prayer, worship, and thanksgiving get heaven's attention, right? Know that the Lord has made, and God is he who made us, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Came talk now. Enter his gates of thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Whoa, that's pretty clear. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. When my heart is full of worship, my heart's ripe to hear God's voice. And it's just the way it works. Immersing ourselves into a church community who has a high value for hearing God's voice enhances the ability of each person to hear. It's amazing to me. We've always had this in our community. We've always, and thank you for Trish and all the rest of you, who have sacrificed years to produce a prophetic community. That's our code for, hey, this is the hearing God's voice community. This is where you learn to hear God's voice. We have it in every trimester of our whole church. We have this. We have a new trimester, and we just focus on hearing God's voice. It's so important. All the dimensions of it and what it looks like. We're a community of hearing God's voice. We all know lots of things about us, and we can tell things that are happening. There's a huge angel that stands in that corner. He's been there for years and years, and most of us know it. Sometimes I get glimpses. I can understand, but it's right there, and it's like, those kind of things are going on in the church all the way. The other day, we had a time of high worship and praise, and Trisha discerned a warrior angel dancing, which is a little different kind of angel. By the way, we can actually see angels. We're not ashamed of saying that. We see angels. We hear God's voice. We experience things. This is normal. And so when you first come here, this might feel like, man, what planet did I land on? Is this church? Well, actually, this is a church, like I said at the very top. This is a church, by God's grace, that is not about dead religion, but we're about experiencing the person of Christ. Turns out that person of Christ still speaks. And he has angels, and there's heavens involved, and all kinds of things, and friends, and people in high places, and they're visiting us, and we're visiting them, and there's angelic powers visiting and helping us and opening the doors for us. And so she saw Jesus and this angel dancing. They were in warrior garb. I can't remember what day that was, a few days ago. But it's very helpful. But when we talk like that, then pretty soon people will be freed up, and the culture produces amazing things. We begin to hear God's voice because it's in the culture, because we all believe at high tide, we all believe we can hear God's voice. And there's nothing like faith to encourage God's voice. So in that soil of your heart, and the soil of a church's heart, it happens. So immersing yourself into our community that has a high value in our conversation, the way we talk, the way we preach, it enhances your ability to believe that God could speak to you. Also, God constantly speaks through other people with their gifts, and there's a few of them there. Encouragement, prophecy, teaching, counsel, wisdom. Those are all gifts of the Spirit that God puts on people so you can hear his voice more clearly, so you can know what you're supposed to do. Those gifts all serve to encourage, to exhort, to bring revelation where there wasn't any revelation. I can't imagine living in the midst of myself and my family and every once in a while going to church and hanging out and not knowing anybody. But when I immerse myself in the community, the possibility for me hearing God's voice to be encouraged and for whatever is on a person, you know, like that girl, for example, just that little thing we had, that little time, she rubbed off on me. I thought, well, gee, she can do it. I can do it. How many ever heard that about God's voice? Well, gee, that guy's not that special. I like him and everything, but how did they get that? Well, if they can do it, I can do that. I'm going to try. You know what I mean? I mean, that's a little unspiritual about the way, but I mean, you know, I mean, that's the way it works. We encourage, we exhort, we bring each other along. There's a corporate vision. And we remind each other of all the time. And there's these specific people. I love the encouragers to bring that to me. I love the ones that bring counsel. I love the wisdom givers. And I love the prophets and all the rest of them and the teachers, everything. It's all about revelation. God reveals himself, point G on the outline. In creation and in creativity, he is always speaking and doing new things. Now, I want to just look at Romans chapter 1, verse 20, which I never really had much use for. Always kind of wondered about, you know, some of these verses. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made so that people are without excuse. Yeah, I can hear my ear. Now watch it, brother. Going to get into that new age stuff. Don't get too far. Man, I tell you what, people are so afraid of falling into error, they never get to the truth. They never find God's grace. They just they got this little hedge protecting them. You can't protect yourself from the Lion of Judah. I'm sorry, he's a lion. And he's very busy devouring people, changing your perceptions and renewing you and giving you trust and faith again. And so look, you can see God in nature. Highly recommend it. I'm beginning to understand more and more about that. I kind of closed myself off to it, but I've had this new understanding of being in nature and creation. And he's always, and some of you have had that for years and years and years, but let me just give you a little scriptural reference for those that are getting insecure right now. Look at Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. Oh, that was a long time ago when the world was first created. That's how they declared. No. To every human being on the planet, just look up and let God speak to you. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. Wow. They reveal knowledge. They give speech. They're not just talking, but they're saying specific things. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them, yet their voice goes out into all the earth. And by the way, interesting thing about that is you do not need to hear words to hear God's voice. That's one of the shocking things about hearing God's voice that's been amazing to me. Sometimes I just look up and say, how are you telling me that? I don't hear words. I just know this is what I'm supposed to do now. How are you doing that? He doesn't need words. The heavens don't need words. And this whole thing about creativity, oh my goodness, God is so creative. The way he speaks sometimes in your own language in some way you'll understand. Like for me, golf scores are great. You think I'm kidding, don't you? Now, he doesn't do that very often. But I'm just talking about something that might be of interest. And golf isn't high on my list of interest, but still, it's something I like to do. But what do you like to do? Are you a musician? What do you like to do? Hey, Chuck, does God ever speak to you through plumbing? We were talking about that the other day. How God helps you solve problems, right? You see what I'm saying? Everyday life, when he's creative, he knows how you tick. He'd be shocked to know that you like the Los Angeles Rams. He's just, how could he know that? That's shocking. Or that you would even be interested, that you're interested in the Los Angeles Rams. God's like that. He's creative in the way he gets to you, the way he talks to you. Whatever's got your attention has his attention, and he uses it to shape you and mold you. He's so creative in the way he speaks. It's amazing. So the last part is the hearing culture of the church. So I'm not going to go through this whole outline. I'm just going to just make a couple of comments, and then we'll stop here, okay? There's a lot of information there. What I basically did was I was just looking through the early church in the book of Acts, basically. And you see all these ways that they did it. And I just want to tell you the way they did it, I want to do it. How about you? If there's trances, I want to fall in a trance. Whoa, watch it. It says it right there. In a trance. Peter's in a trance. And then he gets this, sees this vision of these animals and everything. And then he does the unthinkable. Now he's supposed to go with this Gentile and go into his house, which he's not supposed to do because at that time there's only Christian Jews, but he has a trance and he has a vision and that told him everything. They knock on the door. He knows he's supposed to go because of a trance. I didn't say it. The Bible did, but the Bible's got all this and just lays it out. And I want everything that's in the Bible. How about you? Because I want to hear God's voice as much as possible. So we see from the first days of Pentecost, this revelatory. First of all, we find out in the very first sermon, says, you know what? Everybody can prophesy. That's what he says at the end. You're all going to prophesy now. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. You're all going to start prophesying. That's in the very first sermon ever preached. Now, church, you are a revelatory church, is what he was announcing. And Saul gets converted. He gets knocked off his donkey. Audible voices and visions. Well, that would only happen to a wicked man like Saul. But I've got to tell you, God speaks audibly still today and still knocks people off their donkey today. And there is an audible voice. God sometimes clears his throat and says something out loud to people, as shocking as that is. There are angels and visions and trances and audible voices and the voice of the Spirit warning us, do this, do that. And here's one of my favorites. When Cornelius prayed, remember that man Cornelius? He prayed and he was giving to the poor, and heaven spoke back to him. Heaven came to him because he had an interest in two things. He was praying and he gave to the poor. And because of it, an angel appears and gives him a word and gives him information of how to be saved. That's why I like the warehouse. In all the dimensions, you can never go wrong. There are so many side benefits from actually giving to the poor. And one of them is hearing the voice of God. Because when you do that and you're benevolent in your heart and that heart soil again is open to hearing God's voice. Benevolence, I'm telling you, opens the voice of God to you. It helps you hear. It happened to Cornelius. He's praying and he's giving alms, and all of a sudden an angel pops up and says, okay, I got some more information to give you. Go send for Peter. He has no idea what's about to happen, but salvation resulted. I'm telling you, this is really critical. Just like prayer is and word, the word is learning to have a lifestyle that is compassionate to the weak. Is so powerful in hearing God's voice. We see the prophets, Agabus prophesying, and we see the messenger angels and the warfare angels and the guardian angels, and we see worship and fasting, and we see Paul getting a Macedonian vision, you know, a vision and say, hey, come over here and help us. And he picks up his whole life and leaves and crosses, some water and goes to Macedonia on that leading. And then even in these rare, very circumstances where it doesn't happen very often, but the Lord himself appears and speaks to Paul about the future and about what he's going to have to go through in Rome. The Lord himself appears. And occasionally the Lord even does that. I believe all that stuff because it's in the Bible. That's another good reason to read your Bible. Before you discount anything, try to find it, because I'm telling you, there's some weird stuff in here. There's some weird things in here. If the Bible is anything, it's strange. But true. So we got to have strange hearts to receive the strange God and the strange invasion. Amen? So, Lord, I want to ask you right now. I'm asking, as a result of just this little bit I've shared, I want to ask you for an open heaven. I pray a fresh season of hearing God's voice. I pray, God, you would give us direction and insight, things that have been stalled for years. You would speak to us. You'd tell us what the next step is with our kids. You'd help us understand what the time and season of our life is. I just declare an open heaven over this place, meaning an open ears, open eyes, that we can see and hear in the way that we have it. I pray our prophetic appointments with people will be dynamic. I pray give us information we have no business knowing on our own. I pray you would make this a prophetic church like never before. I pray you would open our eyes and ears to see things we haven't seen in a long time. Why don't we all stand? I just want to say this to everybody right now. Even you people that are looking in online, to anybody within the sound of my voice, I am telling you that this message that I'm speaking isn't just about information I'm giving you. It's an impartation. Today is an impartation. I know that for a couple of reasons, which I won't go to now, but I've had some unusual activity happening to me. And I know that today, for whatever reason, God decided to say, hey, I'm going to release a new anointing to hear God's voice. And I want to do it not only in the cosmic sense, saying, yeah, and then we're all searching to get this latest word for our area region. I'm really like to speak this more specifically to you. I don't suppose there's anybody here that needs to know any information about from the Lord, you know. Is there anybody that in here, maybe one or two of you, that would like a word from our sponsor? So why not now? Why not tomorrow or the next day or maybe this week? Why not? So, Lord, I just ask you, take this word and apply it to the soil of our heart. Is Ryan Chantana here, or his wife? Is that you? Yes. I'm just going to prophesy over him. Ryan's going to find what he's looking for. This time, is he in Indonesia right now? This time in Indonesia is really going to be weird for him. It's going to be amazing. He not only went to Indonesia for one reason, but there's another reason. He's going to find his calling. He's going to find some things he's been thinking about for a long time. God's going to open the door in Indonesia for him. I'm just telling you that right now. And by the way, is it not odd that Sean Bowles is coming here on October 11th? But you know who that is. One of the major prophetic voices of our... And he called me. I didn't call him. I prayed him in. I prayed for him. I yanked on the heavens for a couple of years. I shouldn't have been surprised, but he's coming. But it's all part of this prophetic thing that's going on in our midst today. And maybe in this season. And I say specifically today. So I want to bring it back down today. So I want you to just to pursue God and ask him for what you need. If you want to come up in the front, sometimes it's a good time to maybe just come up to the front for 2 seconds and say, okay, God, it's September 1st. I want to remind you of this, and I need direction right here. You might receive it while you're standing up here, or maybe while you're paused, because we'll have worship in here. Or it may follow you 2 days from now or 3 days from now, but the business you do now, I believe, will have an effect, because I believe that's what God's doing in this service today. He's opening ears to all who would hear. And I think he's also tilling the soil a little bit. And some of the things I said, and you're reminding you about the soil of your heart, what you might want to do with some of the soil. You may need how to say sorry about this, and Lord, I receive that, and sorry for the unbelief, but Lord, I'm trusting you now. You can get care of all that business in a moment. Maybe you could do it right now, right here, whether you're in your seat or up here. Coming up to the front is kind of good because it makes you kind of express yourself. You remember what you did. You actually are praying about this matter. And I pray, God, for severe direction over this room. Severe direction. By that, I mean just unusual leading and counsel. And I pray you'd restore the confidence back of the people that are listening to my words. Restore their confidence again. As they're just standing here in prayer, restore their confidence in Jesus' name. Restore their confidence. And let nothing get distracted. Don't let them get distracted. And especially if you whisper in their heart, may you give them a persevering heart to hold on to it. And what they hear in the light, may they not lose in the dark. In Jesus' mighty name. Do all of that and more here and now and through the next several days. This coming week and the next 2 weeks, Lord. May the voice of God be rich and strong in us. May you make a way. May we hear God's voice. Amen.